NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, nehmen wir jetzt nicht zum ersten Mal dieses Jahr, sondern zum zweiten Mal, erfreulicherweise, ist Marina Diamandis. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm pretty good.
We're going to hear the title track of the new album to start off with, and we'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
So, wir hören jetzt mal das Titelstück von dem neuen Album Fruit. Hier ist Marina and the Diamonds. Fruit von Marina and the Diamonds. It's interesting because the title track is a track I gave a bit of a wide berth to begin with, because it was probably because I'm so innately indie, I thought it was kind of like too sugary and poppy for me.
Mm.
And I learned to appreciate it as time went on. I warmed to it, and I thought it just musically, in terms of structure, it's really interesting because it's quite complex, isn't it, kind of by your style. There's so much going on in that song.
Yeah.
Was that song like a big challenge to you?
To write?
Yeah.
It was challenging. That's kind of why I really enjoyed it. I think the challenging thing actually was after writing the melodies and seeing that I loved all of them and how were they going to fit into one song. So in the end, I actually decided not to edit it. And I think it came in at close to 6 minutes. But it was kind of really full of these very plush, rich melodies. And I kind of heard it as a story more than a song. It was kind of like a soundtrack to your life. Or to my life at the time. And, yeah, that's...
So basically you being a ripe fruit ready to be picked by,
yes.
by Mr. Right.
Well, not just by Mr. Right. Just as an artist, I felt fully realised and I felt grown as a musician and I suppose as a person. So that's what I wanted the song to represent.
Ja, das Titelstück Fruit, also ich brauchte ein bisschen Zeit, um mich daran zu gewöhnen. Und jetzt mag ich das ganz gerne. Es ist interessant, musikalisch von der Struktur her. Und Marina hat auch bestätigt, dass es tatsächlich relativ kompliziert entstanden ist. Es war erstmal 6 Minuten lang, also das Ganze, bevor sie tatsächlich dann nochmal dran basteln musste. Sie war schon der Meinung, dass es ein sehr ehrliches Lied ist. Es fasst so ihr Leben jetzt zusammen. Es ist besonders autobiografisch eigentlich und stellt sie einfach dar, wie sie jetzt gefühlsmäßig und künstlerisch drauf ist. Es war sowas wie so symbolisch für ein neues Kapitel. Und es geht schon einmal darum, also wie sie dann gerne irgendwann den perfekten Mann kennenlernen will. Aber es ist, hat auch einen ernsten Hintergrund, dass es tatsächlich ein künstlerisches Spiegelbild ist, also von dem Punkt, wo sie jetzt im Prinzip gelandet ist. What I think is interesting about what you do is that no matter how satisfying I think I might find, I don't find all your songs equally pleasing and satisfying, but I must say that even the songs I don't really like all that, in fact, there's only one on this album which I don't like all that much, is Gold, to be honest.
Mm.
But it's never boring. And I think you always achieve that goal of never being boring, which I think is quite an achievement, because so many artists get under sort of very kind of one-dimensional as years goes on.
Yeah.
And you seem to manage to avoid that pitfall. Consciously or unconsciously, you
wake up in the morning saying,
"I don't want to be boring."
Yeah. No, it's more that I, for better or worse, I've definitely always been a Marmite kind of artist. People either really like what I've done or haven't.
And they don't have Marmite in Germany.
So oh, they don't have Marmite. About. What can you say? Well, people love you or hate you.
Baked beans, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. so that makes sense, but it's definitely not something that I've consciously tried to do.
Okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie es nicht bewusst versucht hat, nicht langweilig zu sein. Aber ich finde, das ist eine bemerkenswerte Qualität, dass auch wenn es Songs gibt, die ich nicht so besonders gerne mag, das Langeweile kommt bei ihr nie hoch. Und sie meinte, sie hat das Künstlerin immer so polarisiert. Und von daher gesehen, ja, das ist einfach so. Aber das war nie so bewusst forciert bei ihr. Das ist einfach nur so, wie sie ist. Of course, the dust has settled on the new album a bit now. And it seems to me that it's certainly a more mature record, which maybe makes sense because you're more mature, presumably.
Mm.
It's not as fussy, maybe, as what you've done in the past. It's still accessible. And it's still got your very kind of distinct character to it. Does it seem to be the case now that you think you've kind of reached your fruition, in a sense? Do you actually feel that this is the time where you can really say you've actually managed to reach your full potential?
Mm. Yeah, I do feel like that. I feel satisfied creatively, that's for sure. Which I haven't felt previously. So it's satisfying. It's trilogy.
Right. And you weren't satisfied with the stuff in the past so much?
It wasn't that I wasn't satisfied musically, just creatively, or as an artist. I never really felt like I was understood and that I'd produce a piece of work that represented me fully so that people could understand me easily. Whereas with Fruit, it felt very easy and... kind of effortless. It just felt very natural.
Mm-hmm, okay. Usually people say, like, the first album seems to be most natural because it's kind of like the first flush of youth, isn't it? Mm. Getting it out of your system. But this, you reckon it took three albums to actually feel as if it's kind of like a really just natural process, which you don't need to kind of worry your head about so much.
Yeah, definitely. Because I am naturally a worrier. I have always tried very hard, but I think with this one, I just stopped trying. And also, there's, you know, the other thing of which, in the past, with a lot of artists that, you know, we look back at now, it wasn't until their third album sometimes that they really gained their own kind of momentum and came into their own. So, like, for example, David Bowie took loads of albums to get to that point.
And I think
so I think that perhaps it's a case of artists who are a little bit more alternative or left field take a little bit of time to find what they like doing.
Right, Ja, sie sagt, dass es einfach normal ist, wenn Künstler ein bisschen länger brauchen, um sich wohlzufühlen, um wirklich das Gefühl zu haben, dass sie ihr Potenzial komplett ausschöpfen. Sie meinte, dass es gibt viele Beispiele, wo Künstler dann drei Platten brauchen. Und sie denkt, es trifft auch auf sie zu, dass sie jetzt das Gefühl hat, wirklich da zu sein, also wo sie sein möchte. So the next one we're going to hear is Savages from the album, which is possibly the most political song you've written, really. Mm. Don't you feel?
Yeah.
Was there anything particular which triggered that off? Any particular
event, yeah. I was reading an article, I think it was the Sunday Times actually, and it was talking about the Boston bombings, and the journalist had written, it's so hard to reconcile how one man can be running a marathon to raise money for charity whilst another is busy making a bomb to blow that person up. So that was the first lyric I wrote for it, and then that was kind of, from then on, I was having a lot of other things, thoughts, about news articles that I'd read, and actually the news in general, because it was pretty bleak and really quite disturbing, how many rape cases were being reported in the news. So I was kind of collecting thoughts on it, but those were the two main things that instigated it. It was kind of, it wasn't passing judgment on who we are as people, it was more, how do we reconcile or how do we marry the kind of animalistic side of human beings with the civilized side? That's, you know, that's what's so hard to do. It's not saying rape is bad, because we all know rape is bad, but I want to know why rape happens, because it's been something that's existed for, I don't know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, who knows? So it's kind of trying to make sense of who we are as human beings.
So dieses Lied Savages, das wir gleich hören, ist das politischste Lied, das sie jemals geschrieben hat, von dem neuen Album Fruit. Und zwar handelt es in erster Linie von Vergewaltigung. Aber der erste Gedanke bei der Entstehung des Songs war, es ging um die Nachrichten über das Attentat in Boston. Und sie fand es auch unglaublich, wie Leute da irgendwie gelaufen sind um Wohltätigkeitszwecke. Und in derselben Zeit hat jemand anders versucht, dran zu basteln, eine Bombe zu bauen, um die Leute in die Luft zu sprengen. Das waren sie ein unglaublicher Gedanke, im schlimmen Sinne natürlich. Und es ging um das Thema Vergewaltigung. Sie hat viele solche Fälle, über solche Fälle gelesen in der Presse dann in letzter Zeit. Und sie merkt einfach, wie hauchdünn unsere Zivilisation ist und wie kann man das vereinbaren. Also das Tierhafte im Menschen, das primitive Tierhafte und das Zivilisierte. Und wie es manchmal irgendwie sehr, das ist nur eine ganz, das sehr hauchdünn ist eigentlich. Also wo das Animalistische dann quasi Oberhand nimmt. So hier ist jetzt Savages von Marina and the Diamonds von dem Album Fruit. Das war Savages von Fruit von Marina and the Diamonds. Und Marina Diamonds ist jetzt gerade bei mir. I think when it comes down to this album as well, that it's interesting the production on it, because I know that you wrote it all yourself and it was you co-produced it as well. And I kind of think it may be deliberately trying to kind of distance yourself a bit from Electroheart. It's kind of with Electroheart, I think you're almost trying to oversell the songs. And in this case, I sometimes think you're almost underselling them. That there are certain songs which are really strong, where I think you need a few listens to actually realise how good they really are. They don't kind of shout out at you quite as much, which maybe on long term is a good thing, because people are maybe going to listen to it in another 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, that's the kind of impression I got. It's underselling them rather than overselling them. You know, do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think subtlety is definitely key to how I made this album. And it wasn't something that I tried to do. I guess maybe that it was just something that was subconscious. desire, and that came out in the recording. It wasn't really about being brash and loud and being like, look at me, this is this song, this is what I want to say. It's more, what does this song need sonically? And that's how I would build that, the production around it.
Okay. These things just turn out as they turn out, don't they?
At the end of the day. They do.
Ja, sie meinte, dass es schon eine subtilere Platte ist als das, was sie in der Vergangenheit gemacht hat. Aber es war keine bewusste Haltung, das irgendwie so zu machen. Das war eigentlich so ein ganz natürlicher Prozess. Und jedes Album ist ein Fall für sich. Und in diesem Fall, sie wollte schon sich irgendwie distanzieren von dem Klang von dem letzten Album. Aber es war letztendlich also nicht irgendwie forciert oder nicht aufgesetzt, sondern ein ganz natürlicher Prozess. Of course, you participated with on this album with the Cure drummer Jason Cooper, didn't you? And David Coston was your producer. So, and they're both people who are considerably older than you, but you obviously don't object to working with old people. Then.
No, not at all. I trust them all. Definitely not. Jason's just an incredible drummer. He did a few songs in the beginning, and I was really impressed. And hopefully he was, because then he ended up doing the whole album. And David, yeah, I don't know, I'm not ageist. I don't think about age.
Okay. Ja, also sie hat mit zwei Menschen zusammengearbeitet auf dieser Platte, den Cure-Schlagzeuger Jason Cooper und David Coston. Ich meine, das sind schon ältere Herrschaften, aber sie hat nichts gegen ältere Leute. Sie arbeitet sogar lieber mit alten Leuten zusammen, weil sie dann eigentlich mehr drauf hat. Sie vertraut ihnen eher. Of course, it's been well documented that you've got quite a sizable gay audience, and there is something a bit Elton John about you, I suppose, isn't there? You know,
not feeling very Elton John today. But yeah, I have got a significant gay audience, and I probably attracted a lot of that demographic on Electra because it was very camp and theatrical. But it's wonderful. Everyone's kind of continued on this journey.
Right. Mm. Is it the case that you have kind of like a gay audience, but obviously you have lots of heterosexual admirers as well. You know? So, obviously appearance plays a role in what you do. And that's always been the case, but it's the visuals are important.
Mm.
But you seem to be in some sort of, almost like a non-conformist sex symbol in a way. I don't, there's such a thing as a non-conformist sex symbol.
That's interesting. Why do you say that?
Because it doesn't come over in a traditional way, that even when you do like something deliberate, well, this is the whole point, deliberately cheesy, like the Heartbreaker video, for example.
Yeah.
It comes as being a sender.
Yeah.
You know, other artists would actually do it seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what they like. I don't know.
But, I don't know whether there is such a thing as a non-conformist.
No, I think there is.
So you think there's you
not,
are one?
Just, well, no, but I think that can exist as a term.
Right, okay, so you let me get away with that. Okay. Yeah, it was interesting because I've met Nina Pers on quite a few times, and sort of met her recently, and then I met her years and years ago at the height of her fame with the Cardigans. And she was considered to be a sex symbol for a few years when she was the singer of the Cardigans. And of course she was really hugely successful for a while. And she told me that she didn't really actually enjoy the success because it was kind of like living in a vacuum, really. And she was only really happy when it was over because she felt just removed from it all in some way. And she didn't really have the idea. She didn't really feel as she was just actually had any connection with proper reality.
Well, it's unnatural. It's an unnatural life. Fame is unnatural. So I definitely relate to that in terms of... Actually, the thing that I miss is actually interacting with people, like young people or fans in a normal way, because they get so excited. It's, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have conversation, but then it's just part of what you do as well, and there will come a time when things are normal. So, but that's interesting that she kind of felt that.
Yeah, but I mean, is it something that, well, I mean, you're kind of, you have this, I mean, you're not sort of as famous as Madonna or something, you know, but I mean, you've reached a level where you have to be careful you don't get pestered by people, I presume, don't you? So,
yeah, I mean, it's not something that like bugs me or drastically has changed my life. Because when I'm in London, I can pretty much live completely normally. I think it's more just that I don't really care about all of that kind of thing. And I think when you're in this industry and you do this job, you're almost encouraged to care about it, encouraged to, for example, to be sexual or to look a certain way. But I'm just not interested. I'd way, way rather people just listen to music.
Right.
I'd rather just, yeah, not even be the face of it. That's how I feel at the moment.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I saw a picture somewhere on the internet of you crouching in front of a
at the tube station
with the tube, where the Guardian said something about you probably being the best pop star in the UK.
Okay.
And you were crouching. In front
oh
of
yeah,
you
yeah, 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 yeah.
I thought that was a really funny picture because that kind of sums it all up.
It really does. That really does.
Yeah,
actually.
Because what I'm saying about him, a non-conformist. Now,
yeah.
So you look all glamorous on this picture, and then you're just crouching, looking really normal with your shopping bags. You know what I mean? I thought that was really cute. Yeah.
But that's the thing, it's like, I think it's differentiating between looking the part and pretending to live up to this thing and not doing that and not feeling like you want to do that, but loving creating an image or creating a visual or a package, which is what I'm really interested in.
Right. Mm. Yeah, but it's interesting though, because to do it in this self-ironic way, that is what is unusual, I think. That's the point.
Mm.
And in almost like a self-deprecating way. Because obviously it's not really real, actually just this normal person.
Yeah,
in case you haven't noticed, this is me crouching on the floor, you know what I mean? You know, Madonna just wouldn't do that, you know what I mean?
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's because you are so self-effacing, I suppose, or, you know, that you don't take yourself too seriously.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, also... Wir haben damit angefangen, dass wir darüber gesprochen haben, dass sie ein großes Schwulenpublikum hat. Das war schon ein wichtiger Bestandteil ihrer Anhängerschaft und sie freut sich auch sehr darüber. Und was ihre Attraktivität betrifft für ihre Fans, ich habe auch gesagt, sie ist eine Art unangepasste Sexsymbol. Und sie meinte, ja, eigentlich stimmt das ein bisschen, weil einerseits ist das Visuelle schon von Bedeutung für sie, aber nicht auf herkömmliche Weise. Also sie ist immer selbstironisch dabei. Und ich meinte, dass Nina Persson hat mir auch erzählt, dass sie die Aufmerksamkeit nicht genossen hat am Gipfel ihres Ruhms. Sie fand, es war ein unnormales Leben und es gefiel ihr gar nicht, dass sie irgendwie nie ihre Ruhe hatte. Das kann Marina gut verstehen, aber sie meinte, wenn sie in London ist, ist es eigentlich kein Problem, dass sie eigentlich ein normales Leben führen kann, weil so prominent ist sie auch wiederum noch nicht. Und wie gesagt, ihre Selbstironie hat dazu geführt, dass sie irgendwie bodenständig geblieben ist. So we're going to hear... I'm a ruin now. If we can't hear it already.
Yeah.
We can hear it already anyway, so I don't need to play it anymore.
Yeah.
Right, here's I'm a ruin from the album Fruits, Marina and the Diamonds. Marina ist jetzt gerade bei mir in der Markthalle. And it's interesting, really, because that is an unusual kind of love song in a way, or a sort of a love song, because you're like you're the spurner, you're not the person who's actually been dumped, you know, so that's a bit of an unusual angle. I'm not saying it's never existed, but it's not such a traditional angle. And has the sperm guy given any feedback on it? Is he really fluttered?
No.
Or is he just really pissed off? Or
no, he hasn't given any feedback. But it's, you know, if you do care about someone, it doesn't matter whether you're the spurned or the spurner. It's still hurtful for both sides. And I think that's what people forget, or that sometimes isn't really communicated in music. Not from what I've heard, anyway.
Yeah. Also das Lied handelt davon, wie sie jemanden verlassen hat, nicht wie sie verlassen wurde. Und der Mensch, den sie verlassen hat, hat auf dieses Lied gar nicht reagiert. Aber sie meinte, das ist klar, hat ihr auch wehgetan und ihm auch wehgetan. Und sowas beruht auf Gegenseitigkeit. Eine Trennung ist immer schmerzhaft, auch wenn man es selbst initiiert hat. On that song, is possibly, I was talking about how down to earth you are and modest and you're not too big for your boots. But on that song, you make that comment, had your share of beautiful
men. I knew you were going to say that. But that's not being... immodest?
Well, it's probably the most immodest comment you've ever made, as far as I know.
Do you think? But I have, though.
Well, yeah, the truth can be immodest, maybe. I don't know.
Also, it's so subjective, because what I might find beautiful, you might think, they're not that special.
I probably wouldn't find any of them beautiful. Probably. I'd probably think, why are you interested in him? That's probably what I'd say. But,
lol.
So you've had your share of beautiful men, so and now you've moved on to... the ugly guys know what.
What? No, it's saying, you know, that I wasn't ready to be with that person.
Right, okay.
And I didn't want to be.
No, I'm just being flippant. I know it's all...
You are being very flippant and rude.
Oh, sorry about that. Is flippant and rude automatically the same thing?
No.
It depends how sensitive you are, I suppose.
Well, they can be, but they're not... Exclusively. Okay.
Ja, ich meinte, dass sie ein bisschen unbescheiden ist, weil sie geschrieben hat hier in diesem Lied I'm a Ruin. Sie hat also einige schöne Männer gehabt und sie meinte, es ist alles in falscher Perspektive. Und sie meinte, das sind unbescheidene Äußerungen. Sie meinte, nee, es entspricht einfach der Wahrheit. Und ja, also sie hat eben den Richtigen noch nicht kennengelernt. So on a more serious note, you told me last time in Berlin that you'd actually, you had been kind of less stable in the past and you feel more comfortable with yourself now. And something like depression seems like a thing of the past and stuff. And do you put that down to growing pains? Do you think that you've got left that behind you completely?
No, because life still happens. So, you know, it would be highly unrealistic, even if you had never suffered from depression before, for you to go, I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. Because, A, you just don't know what's going to happen, and B, you don't know how you're going to react to it. So it's more that my state of mind and my perspective changed. Right, so it wasn't about life events, it was about how I viewed life and how I felt about myself, which is what's changed. But of course, you know,
it's maturity. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of, you know, you still have bad days and good days.
Right.
Yeah, because that's life. It's not walking on sunshine every day.
Right. Not even in your case.
Yeah. But it's pretty sunny.
Ja, sie sagte das letzte Mal in Berlin, als wir uns getroffen haben, dass sie unter Depression gelitten hätte früher und dass sie darüber hinweg ist, dass sie viel stabiler ist als früher. Und ich habe sie gefragt, ob das einfach so Wachstumsschmerzen waren, ob sie das Gefühl hat, dass sie es für immer hinter sich hat. Sie meinte, nein, das kann man nie sagen, man weiß nie, was dann kommt. Aber ihr grundsätzlicher Zustand ist eine gesunde, als es früher war, ihre seelische Verfassung, weil sie eine bessere Perspektive hat. Also die Rahmenbedingungen sind eigentlich so wie früher, ihre Umstände sind eigentlich genauso positiv wie früher, nur sie weiß sie besser zu schätzen. Und das ist einfach so ein Reifungsprozess. It's interesting, because you're also talking about in Berlin about sort of being really confident about your songwriting, but in other respects in your life, maybe sometimes lacking self-esteem or not being too sure of yourself. And it's something people are going to be really surprised about because they consider you to be so confident and so flamboyant even, you know. But is it a case of the tears of a clown? Well, I'm not saying you're a clown, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean in the sense that somebody comes over as being very well-balanced. You can have kind of dark secrets that we don't even consider possible.
Yeah, I think with a lot of performers, that's the case. Think of actors, they can just turn it on and people think they're completely normal human beings. But
they're nuts.
But they're nuts, yeah. So you just don't know. But yeah, I don't know what else to answer to that really. But I mean, we all have problems. We all have secrets of things that's happened to us. That's what being a human being is and having a life is. So everyone's pretty much in the same boat. You know, we all kind of go through the same things just at different times in our lives.
Sure.
Most of the time, anyway.
Yeah. So you just reckon in that sense it's just, you're not out of the ordinary in that respect?
No, I probably was a little bit emotionally out of the ordinary, but certainly not completely uncommon.
Not completely nuts.
Yeah.
Just partially.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never completely nuts, but I definitely had some emotional growth to get through. Yeah.
Right, okay. Ja, ich hatte mich auch gewundert in Berlin, wie sie davon erzählt hat, weil sie Probleme gehabt mit dem Thema Selbstwertgefühl. Sie wirkt natürlich so selbstbewusst und extrovertiert und sie meinte, ja, dass viele Künstler sind so, dass sie natürlich eine Fassade aufrechterhalten können und sie haben irgendwelche dunkle Geheimnisse. Also sie glaubt nicht, dass sie ungewöhnlich war in der Hinsicht. Sie war schon ein bisschen instabil, ein bisschen unausgeglichen, aber sie meinte, nicht wirklich ganz extrem. Also nur vielleicht also ein bisschen so seelisch unreif und psychisch ein bisschen angeknackst, aber sie hat das Gefühl, jetzt schon viel stabiler zu sein. So we're going to hear Forget in a minute, which I think is definitely one of the strongest songs on the album, which sums that up really, because you're saying about how you don't really doubt your own strength, but just a little bit maybe, but you still manage to,
yeah,
you know, carry on regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this is a song about Marina carrying on regardless.
Yes.
Marina ist bei mir jetzt gerade in der Markthalle. Something we touched on in Berlin as well was the fact that how original I thought you were. Well, I do still think you're still original by today's standards of like 2015. And I was theorizing today when I was preparing this about why that is possibly. You know, why are you so original? And there are a few things I know about you which maybe could contribute to the fact that you are so original, that as far as I know, that when you were a kid, you weren't such an obsessive music fan. You were quite a late developer, which means maybe you didn't have any too many role models that could have kind of ruined your creativity, you know, because a lot of people just...
Yeah, they want to emulate.
Yeah. Mm. And so you distance yourself from that, maybe, from, you know, because you didn't have too many role models. So that's one possibility. The other thing is that you were self-taught, weren't you? So that makes you more instinctive.
Yeah, it's definitely an innate thing. My gut instincts to do this weren't based on talent or wanting to emulate someone or looking at someone who had that job and being like, I want to do that. It was more that I really wanted a way to express things that I was thinking about. And so, you know, just with the self-taught thing, it was purely because I had to. I had to play piano because I had to have a way to gig on my own. And with the voice, you know, my voice wasn't, by my standards, very good, actually, until... Actually, probably this album is the first time I'm singing properly. So it was all very much, I need to sing because I want to express myself. It wasn't like, you have an amazing voice.
Right, okay. But now you have got
an amazing
voice.
So it was very different reasons. Yeah. I was doing it for very different reasons to most kids.
Ja, sie sagt auch, dass sie tatsächlich als Jugendliche also nicht so extrem musikbesessen war. Und sie hat sich das alles selbst beigebracht, ihre Musik. Sie hat nicht so viele Vorbilder gehabt, vielleicht wie andere. Vielleicht ist sie deshalb relativ originell. Und der andere Punkt ist eben, dass sie einfach noch nicht so selbstbewusst war. Sie hat ihr Handwerk nicht richtig beherrscht. Aber das bedeutet wiederum, dass sie künstlerisch einen sehr ausgeprägten Instinkt hatte. Sie musste sich auf ihren Instinkt verlassen. And das ist wahrscheinlich ein Grund, warum sie so originell geblieben ist. And another thing we touched on is maybe part of being self-taught and the fact that I was saying that you're not kind of, you don't take yourself too seriously, or you regard yourself with a great sense of importance. So you've come over as being quite humble, is the fact that that you can actually come from, in that sense, quite a humble background. You know, if you've been sent to a music school, then you would have just probably felt more cocky, you know what I mean? And you weren't a rich kid, were you, I think, either?
No.
Right, I think that helps as well.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Roger Daltrey telling me years and years ago, Roger Daltrey, The Who, that he worked in a factory for 4 years, and he never forgot that.
Really?
Yeah.
4 years is a long time to work in a factory.
Yeah, because also, I don't really understand it, because The Who have been around, The Who have been around for 50 years, so if you work for 4 years in the factory as well, how old is it? You must be about 90 now.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So maybe he's actually not 70, but he's actually 90.
Bloody hell.
We'll have to do some research on that.
Madness.
Yeah. But, yeah, did you actually answer that? Well, it wasn't as much as a question as just a comment with mine, wasn't it, I suppose? Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you're being self-taught, that makes you particularly creative, and it makes you more down-to-earth. You would agree with that?
I don't know if being self-taught makes you down-to-earth. I think it's... I don't know what that's dependent on. It could just be who you are or your upbringing. But I think things that don't make you down to earth are things like putting a lot of importance on things like status or how you look. And like I said before, this industry facilitates that. And that's not something that I've ever believed in or given significance to.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know what that's dependent on. Probably upbringing, but who knows?
Yeah. Ja, sie meinte, dass ihre Erziehung einfach sehr bodenständig gewesen ist, dass sie eigentlich nie irgendwelche Allüren gehabt hat. Und das ist eigentlich bei ihr geblieben. Also sie ist auch sehr froh darüber. So, is there anything you'd like to change, really, about the setup you've got? Is there anything you could imagine sort of requires altering in some way in your career, artistically, or privately? I mean, is everything just ticking over nicely?
Yeah, at the moment. I have no comment on that.
Okay.
No further comments to make. But, yeah, everything's been very pleasurable, very satisfying. And, yeah, I want to think about what I want to do next.
Right, okay. And you don't feel under pressure to do that, because you always feel...
About what I want to do next.
Yeah, I mean, you never actually had a problem writing, so they've always flowed.
Yeah,
easy,
not really.
It?
And it might, you know, I don't know if I want to just go and do another album. That doesn't really appeal to me at the moment. So it might just be something that's not to do with music.
Well, sie fühlt sich sehr wohl momentan und sie ist eigentlich sehr glücklich wie noch nie zuvor. Und sie hat im Moment keine richtigen Pläne. Sie kann sich nicht vorstellen, ein neues Album zu machen. Aber es kommt wahrscheinlich irgendwann. Vielleicht will sie erstmal was ganz anderes machen, aber sie wird einfach mal gucken, wie sie sich dann so spontan fühlt. Right, well, thanks very much for talking to me again.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. It was nice to see you.
Yes, thank you very much.
And let's hope it's not going to be another 5 years till we make the next album, because we're going to leave a lot of people very discontented.
We'll see.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So, zum Schluss haben wir jetzt... Yeah, what do you want to hear to finish off, then? What would you like to hear to finish off your
era? Happy? Have you played Happy?
Yes, of course I have, yeah. You can't avoid Happy. It's probably the most important song on the album, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe do that one.
Okay, zum Schluss haben wir jetzt Happy von dem Album Fruit bei mir, Bart Marina. Und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.